Gillingham, the header and in! Across the line! And Gillingham done it!
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast. It's been another busy week in ME7 with two more players arriving at Priestfield on loan to bolster the squad depth. This week also saw pre-season begin to ramp up as the first friendlies took place, one of which was behind closed doors, and then we'll be sharing our thoughts on yesterday's 9-1 victory at Faversham Town. Joining me as always, James Hawkins and Josh Keeble-Wells. How are you both?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Not too bad, mate. Right, not mate. Too bad. Good. So we'll get straight into it and start with the two new faces we've had over the last week, I think it's been since we last spoke. So first off, Nathan Thomas. So a winger on season-long loan from Sheffield United. Josh, happy with that addition?
Very happy. More for the fact that it's just knowing we're going to be playing wingers.
Yeah.
Not only that, he had a fantastic season last season with Carlisle.
Yes, he was on
there. Created the most chances in their team, didn't he?
Yeah.
So it's good that we've got that creative spark. And by the looks of things, we've got a free kick replacement for Luke O'Neill.
Yes.
From his performance at Faversham.
Yeah.
Not that I was there, but obviously it's all over social media.
Yeah, I see the video was put up.
So really, really happy with his signing. We need someone that's going to create chances, and I think he will be that man.
Yeah, James, it's something that I think both you and I were quite critical of the management team last season, is that we was very one-dimensional because of their refusal to go and sign wingers, essentially. So I assume, like Josh, you're happy with the fact that we've seen a natural wide player come into the football club, and that's something that looks like Steve Evans is looking to play.
Lovell ended up getting found out towards the end of the season. He ended up playing people out of position.
Yeah.
Because I think at one point he ended up playing handling them list out wide. And there were some games where he moved them both, and he ended up playing a 4-3-3 to try and fit in wingers or something. I found it quite funny that he ended up trying to play Billy Bingham left mid a couple of times, which was never going to work. And in the end, Lovell ended up making it hard for himself because he realised that the diamond sometimes worked, didn't have a plan B, and it cost him his job, didn't it?
That's why the Billy King signing was so strange, because he was our only winger, really.
Yeah, and then realised he was dog shit when he signed.
Well, there is that.
After he signed and played that first game.
Played half a game.
And realised that he was nowhere near the level he should be.
Played half a game against Coventry, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's right.
I think that's the calibre of players that we're getting now, aren't we? They're able to... I think you said it yesterday at Faversham that it isn't just loan signings we're making loan signings that have played in the league before,
yeah,
and have got minutes elsewhere, and are they're experienced loan signings, aren't they?
Yeah, we're not signing someone who's going out on loan for the very first time,
and
sort of where you don't know what you're going to get.
On yesterday's evidence, he's got a wonderful left foot on him,
yeah,
and I think he's going to create a lot of chances for hopefully a new forward, because I think that's definitely something. Even it's funny because we scored 9 goals yesterday, but I think the one thing I took out of it was that we definitely needed a new forward, because I felt that we were still very lightweight up there, very lightweight, and I can't see Hanlon and Njoli playing together. Just can't see it happening. Because they're too similar. They're too similar forwards.
Yeah. Also last week there was a second loan signing at the other end of the pitch, so to speak, in Alfie Jones, a centre-back who's joined on another season-long loan from Southampton. I think... We always knew, I think, another centre-back was going to come in.
Yeah.
It was always likely, with obviously Lacey leaving and Zakuani still not being quite ready to to start pre-season yet, I don't think. It obviously left us with just Aimer and Ogilvy and then Tucker potentially. So it makes sense, doesn't it, to bring another one in?
Yeah,
100%.
I'd say so.
And to be fair, for someone that I, on first impressions, unless he forces himself in, is going to be down the pecking order. Good timing, because he was our 123 captain.
I'll count on that, Josh, because
I think we'll start the season with Aimer and Ogilvy. But that's the only reason I think you'll be towards the bottom of the
I don't think order. Southampton would have let him come here unless he's going to play games.
I know, obviously he's going to play, but like I think to begin with it'll be Aimer and Ogilvy.
But competition for places.
Exactly, yeah.
Because
exactly.
Last season, exactly. Had Aimer and Ogilvy got injured, we were stuffed.
Yeah.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
Yes.
Can win a lot in the air. Not.
Well, he's scored 9 goals from corners.
What we noticed yesterday was that, and what was quite interesting, was we were standing obviously by the back four yesterday, and he was talking Ogilvy all the way through the game.
Was it really?
Yeah. That's constantly
good.
Giving him
that's good
instructions and communication, and praise when he did something well.
He's clearly a leader, isn't he?
Yeah,
like, obviously he was the captain of Southampton at under 23 level, and like as I said, he scored quite a lot of goals for his position.
Yeah, he's another one that it's another loan signing that again comes with games under his belt. He played for St Mirren last season.
Yes, St Mirren. Yeah.
Was it St Mirren? Was it Kilmarnock? St Mirren, because he was with Willock, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I think.
Willock and someone else. Was
O'Keefe? No, O'Keefe.
No,
what's
not
his name? The right back. What's his name?
No, he was at Rangers.
No, he went out on loan. He was
at St Mirren. Yeah. He went to St Mirren on loan. Because I remember him saying in his interview, he knew a couple of them. Evans has said he's a big, strong, powerful boy who offers real strength and competition for places, which, like you touched on, James, is exactly what we need, especially in that defensive area, which was, I think, ultimately our big letdown last season, was the goals against Colham.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think ultimately that was the midfield problem. I felt a little sorry for the back four last year.
Yeah.
They didn't help themselves.
No.
But Evans mentioned it in an interview that he felt a lot of the goals weren't actually Max's and Connor's fault last year.
But
it was where we lost the ball in midfield and we had runners running at the back four.
But if you cast your mind back, if Ogilvy hadn't transformed himself into a centre half, we really would have been stuffed.
Yeah.
Because we had no other option.
Yeah.
I think it's a sensible signing.
Definitely.
Like you say, especially as there is the possibility that Aimer and Ogilvy, should they carry on their form from the back end of last season for our pre-season, they will end up being the first two choice centre-backs, in which case you don't want to go and spend loads of wages on a permanent centre-back who's just going to sit on the bench all game every week. So it makes sense that we're probably not paying all of his wages, we're paying a part of his wages. We've got him all season, so that if we do need him, he's there, and he is going to push the other two all the way.
Yeah,
he's
going to push the other two all the way simply because he wants to break through at Southampton, and I see a lot of their fans thought that his breakthrough season was going to be this season. They thought he was going to be part of their squad on the bench quite a lot, and I think quite a few of their fans were like upset that he'd gone. So that shows the caliber of player that we've got there. So like you say, competition places at the moment at the back, I think it's quite good. Hopefully we see Tucker come for a bit of scene as well.
Yeah, so do you think that, obviously he's had his unfortunate injury, which is still ongoing. I don't think he's far from being back from training, the impression I get, but obviously he's not ready yet. Do you think Zakuani's now fourth choice centre-back?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Considering a year ago, he was the one that we thought were a shambles when he's not in the team. All of a sudden, fast forward a year, and he's probably...
I think... I probably might get criticised for this, but I think Aimer's better than him. I think Ogilvy's better than him. And I think, on the evidence yesterday, I think Jones, well, he's got Angel inside.
Can't judge against though.
Not judging. It's just, I think he looks a better footballer. He looks, ability-wise, and playing out from the back is where we want to go. And Zakuani, all the time we wanted to play out from the back last year when he was fit, could never do it.
Listen, but what a fourth choice centre-back, though, this league.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
But your question was, is Zakuani fourth choice? Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes, he is.
Even
when he is fit, I don't think he gets in the team.
Yeah, I mean, his first season with us, he was phenomenal. But we do have to remember he is well into the wrong side of 30 now, isn't he? So yeah. I think this time was always going to come that his form and consistency probably was going to go a little bit. And he has had a big injury. So I wouldn't have thought he would be able to, even if he was fit for the start of the season, I can't see it's going to be like that first season where he played 40 plus games. I don't think he'd be capable of that now anyway.
That's why I was surprised we managed to retain him after the first season. Because obviously he was on 1 year contract then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I was surprised that Paul gave him 2 years.
Yeah.
Because of his age. And usually, you know what a scout is like. As soon as they're creeping up to 30, he wants more 1 year deals. So, it has backfired a little bit. But
only probably because of the injury, though.
Yeah, what an option to have.
And you say, we've still got Jack as well, who Evan spoke well of yesterday, and rightly so. And obviously, we've seen him a few times for the youth team, and he's always looked a prospect. I think he's made one league appearance, hasn't he, against Portsmouth?
Yeah.
That he played before a couple of seasons ago back. So, yeah, it's another one that if he continues making positive strides, we could have five centre back options who you look like you could probably rely on to come in and do a job, not look, oh, don't really fancy this one coming into the team.
Yeah.
Which is healthy, and it's what Evans is striving for sure, and it's definitely what we need. But I'll touch on another new arrival, old new arrival, so to speak. Not in the playing capacity. Sort of out of nowhere really. Simon Royce was confirmed as new goalkeeping coach. I know a lot of the time we moan when old faces come back to the club, but I genuinely think this is a really good, sensible move.
Yeah, it is.
Because we've seen before at Gills with goalkeepers, or with Nelson, with Holyoake, they can't just go and work with any old goalkeeper coach. They have to be good at what they do, and they have to have a good relationship with them. Because obviously we saw Nelson had a really good relationship with Carl Muggleton, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he left, and his form dipped.
And then it picked up again when Jimmy Walker was there.
Jimmy Walker came in and did work wonders with Nels. And then obviously with Holy and Hadler, we had Glenn Johnson for a while, who spoke about really highly. And he moved on. I can't remember the guy's name last season. But it seemed like Holy's form wasn't quite as good as it was the season before. So I think it is an important role at the football club. Royce, obviously, not just bags of experience as a player, including, obviously, his successful spell at Gills, but he's also very experienced in the coaching capacity now, isn't he? Yeah. And he's been at some good clubs in that role.
Yeah.
So I think he stands in good stead. He's been at Brentford. He was at Brentford with Bonham, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Which surely is a perfect move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's a great appointment. Excellent appointment. Knows the club inside out. Knows what is expected. His experience can also help the rest of the change room as well, not just Jack, because he knows the club so much and he knows what the fans expect. He can pass on those leadership skills as well. I think it's a great appointment, fantastic appointment, and I think Evans just keeps making the right moves, and I'm waiting for him to make a wrong one, and every single time a little bit of news comes out, it just seems to be the right thing he's doing. I think it's a fantastic appointment. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, Josh, really, you
really
happy?
I agree completely. What better person to have in the change room than the man that was at Wembley, kept a clean sheet, and in my opinion, is the best goalkeeper I've seen at Gillingham in my lifetime.
He was a quality goalkeeper.
What better man to have around the dressing room?
Like you say, James, it also comes to the fact that, obviously, unlike the goalkeeper coach we had last season, as a player, he's played untold Championship League One game, so he knows the level. He knows what it takes to compete at this level, which, like you say, probably then means that he's at odds to not just help the goalkeepers, but he can also rub off wisdom and experience on the rest of the squad. Which, you know, we have signed a couple of younger players this season, and we have still got Listy, Hanlon, who's still fairly young and inexperienced players that sort of knowledge like that from such a great professional when he played is going to be priceless. That's all the arrivals that we've had this week. So we'll get straight into sort of the ramping up of pre-season. Obviously there's not much we can say about the game on Thursday because it was behind closed doors and nothing really official has been mentioned about it, but it was a draw, I think I've read.
Yeah.
I think 1-1 draw. It was 1-0, apparently. Yeah. Charles Cook scored. That's about as much as we know about it. Don't really know what the QPR team was like that we played against, who was in it. But I know Steve Evans said it was a good competitive game with tackles flying in left, right and centre, which is good. And obviously it really kicked off yesterday, where it was the first viewing for all our supporters to go and start seeing this new shape Steve Evans Gill's team. As two different lineups played a half each, and we eventually ran out 9-1 winners. Obviously James Wee headed down there, and it was a convincing display, wasn't it? Which, let's be honest, was over as a contest after about 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was. I felt a little bit sorry for Faversham, but we took absolutely no mercy yesterday. Absolutely none.
I think, because we spent the second half with James Clear, wasn't it? And the two words between the three of we mentioned were, it was professional and it was ruthless.
Yeah, it was.
Whereas in previous, well, in most years, sort of, really, with pre-season, we'll go to friendlies, and once it gets into the second half, the game goes a bit dead.
Yeah.
And it's just knocking the ball around across the back four and all that. And yesterday it wasn't. It was foot to the throat for the entire way
through. It just got the feeling that every single member of that squad that was out there yesterday felt like they had to prove something to Steve Evans. Felt like just whatever team they were playing against, whether we were 4-0 up, we were 1-0 up, we were 6-0 up, or whatever we were, I don't think we took our foot off the pedal from minute one to minute 90. And it was just, I don't think I've ever seen a such convincing, even Chapter Town wasn't that convincing. And what I'm trying to say is, yes, the scoreline was convincing at Chatham, but the way we popped the ball about and turned their defenders must have been shattered by the end, because second half, List on the left-hand side, he must have had double figures in running at their fullback must have been on the floor at the end. I felt that we moved the ball around really, really well. I felt the new ones, first half, Bonham's a good size, will obviously do well. Hodson, his delivery weren't quite there yesterday in terms of beating the first man, but he's not afraid to attack people. I like the fact that you saw the way we're going to play. We're going to play short and obviously from the centre-halves to the full-backs, which is quite nice to see. I thought Riley was superb on the left-hand side first half. I know it's against this type of opposition, but like you say, in the past 2 years when we've turned up with Lovell and Pennock, we've struggled to beat these lot. And we've absolutely battered them yesterday. Absolutely battered them.
I think, like you said, where it was, we was at max intensity from minute one right the way through to minute 90. I think ultimately that does come from an expectation of standards from the dugout, because even at 6-7, we were standing down that side, and if someone made the wrong pass or the wrong decision, you could hear Evans up on his feet screaming. I had one at Oldacre in the second half where he, as he does from time to time, he tries that Hollywood crossfield pass and it went out of play. And Evans screamed at him for not just playing it square. And I think the game was 7-1 at the time.
Yeah.
It just goes to show that for every minute of the game, he wants them players switched on, focused, and making sure they do the simple things well.
Yeah.
And it's been touched on before that under the previous management, were they just accepting?
Well, how many times did you see in the press that Lovell will come out, or a coaching member of staff will come out in the press conference after a game where we've lost at home, and they've gone, yeah, we did all right actually, we played quite well. I tell you now, I think if that happened under Evans, that would not be the answers given in the press conference. Like you say, the standards were set right from the start yesterday, and you saw it from minute one that every single player was looking to improve and impress. They're hungry boys, and they want to be in that team come the first day.
And that's the thing, of course, we do have to keep keep in consideration it was obviously only a friendly and it was only Faversham. But the good thing is that it's game one, and well, it's not just Evans, because at the end of the day, it's not him out there playing. The players have gone out there yesterday and set an incredibly high bar, which a manager like Evans is only going to expect them and demand them to go up from that now.
Yeah.
So they've set a bar that they can't drop under now. They're only going to be expected to go one way. So the expectation is we're still going to keep getting better. Even he said in his comments afterwards, he said, there's still one or two things out there that I wasn't happy with.
Yeah.
And we've just gone and scored 9 goals.
Yeah.
So it goes to show that he is a perfectionist and he's going to want this squad.
It's good though.
Bang at it. And it is good. It is good. It keeps everyone on their toes and it keeps everyone pushing and striving for better things.
I'm sure all three of us sitting here would want to play under a manager like that.
Yeah.
That would want to expect the best from us. Because the level of acceptance and the level of, yeah, it's okay. Like Zach, I think Evans mentioned in his Q&A that him and Zakawani had a chat before the Q&A and it was okay for us to win a couple and then lose and then win a couple again, because we'd forget about the couple that we've won. I don't think that's going to be accepted here. And my dad was saying to me yesterday that obviously he was standing right by Evans, wasn't he? That one of the goals, he actually pulled a few of them over after we'd scored one of the goals and told them where it wasn't good enough in the build-up, even though we'd scored from it.
That's brilliant.
It's what you need, though, Josh, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely
like, obviously, we've heard from a few of the players that played under Alan. They said that he's not always the sort of the most PC guy or whatever, and he will shout and scream.
But it was
his demanding of standards.
Yeah.
That contributed to us eventually winning that title, because
that.
You know, we won most of the first 10-15 games that season, and they could have gone, alright, there we go, we're doing alright here, just keep doing what we're doing, it'll be alright. But I expect Alan was demanding more and more from him week in, week out, and Evans is cut from the same cloth, isn't he, at the end of the day. He's been there, done it, he knows what it takes to get, well, to have success in this league. He knows just as well as anyone and that's in the division this season what it takes. So all we can do is trust his judgment and trust what he's doing so far. And at the moment, like you say, James, he's not really taken a wrong turn yet.
No.
I will ask you for a couple of names of who you was particularly impressed with yesterday.
Alfie Jones. Bonham didn't have much to do, so it's a bit hard.
No, touched the ball a few times with his feet. That was about it.
Yeah, yeah. O'Keefe. Not afraid to first half, Josh. Bonham's played this square ball, and I think it went out for a throw. Might have gone out for a throw, and O'Keefe, no will of a lie, turned to Bonham and gone, stop fucking around and get rid of it. And like,
I love that.
Where was that last year?
I love this team already, and like, I'm just so, if it all goes wrong, I love everyone much already. I love him.
Like, there wasn't. It isn't just Evans.
I know.
It's coming from on the pitch as well. That demanding, that standards that are set, and it isn't.
It all starts at the top though.
It isn't disrespectful, and it O'Keefe didn't say it in a disrespectful way. It's just to say that isn't good enough. Sort yourself out, and. We were saying he has to be our captain next year.
Yes,
he was telling people left, right,
half.
And centre where to go, where to move. He did get a rollicking off Evans after not tracking his runner, O'Keefe. Yeah, so he was good. Cissé's a big boy, isn't he?
I'd like
to see someone try and get the ball off him.
6'5",
isn't he?
Absolutely
huge. It was interesting to see Bowen right winger yesterday. That was quite interesting.
Did all right.
Yeah, yeah, Bowen's right winger. Did well. Did all right.
He's quite a quick lad.
Hanlon had one of his quiet games. And Joe Lee, his second goal was a hit, wasn't it?
The boy can finish.
I think he nearly
set
the net off.
He can certainly finish.
With his finish. Second half, trying to think. Yeah, Aymer was quiet. He didn't have much to do, did he? But you know what we're going to get from Max.
How was Garmson yesterday?
Good. He was okay.
He saw a lot of the ball.
Yeah.
An awful lot of the ball.
Yeah,
and
I would have liked for him to take on his fullback a little bit more.
He was wearing a lovely pair of boots.
With Fuller getting injured in the warm-up, Garms was the only one that started the second half as well. He played 10 more minutes, I think, didn't he? And then he brought Henry Woods on.
Willock, very good.
Yep.
Very good on the ball, travels well with it. Thomas, very impressed with him.
Yeah.
List, very good.
Yeah, it was. We saw a lot more directness from Elliot, which I think we want to see more of. Sort of, I think there was times last season where
he
would he'd either start a game or he'd come on and you'd see him do it once where he'd burst past someone, then you won't see it again.
Yeah.
Whereas, hopefully, what Evan's trying to get out of him is that if you do it and you beat the man, do it again. Because if he couldn't stop me the first time, he won't stop me the second time.
Was impressed with Roman Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah, he got on the score sheet, didn't he?
Yeah, showed some nice movements, nice touches, held up play really well.
He's another big lad as well.
Yeah, he is.
We're going to be a big team next year.
Yeah, so I was impressed. I was impressed with mostly everyone. There was some quieter ones, but I'm sure throughout pre-season those quieter ones will come out of their shell. I'm not going to start judging us properly until I see us against Charlton and Millwall.
Yeah.
And then I'll start giving us a proper opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Evan's come out afterwards and said that, obviously, like always with pre-season games, it's an important exercise in terms of getting minutes into legs and trying to build up player relationships. That was something he touched on quite a lot.
Couldn't say the word Faversham, though, is it?
And Faversham. yeah, especially as we have had quite a lot of new faces come into the club, sort of building up them relationships are going to be really, really important. But no, all in all, a really positive start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A really positive start. Yeah. And I don't mind paying a tenner to go and watch these friendlies if it's like yesterday and we know that we're going to go and see us playing in that competitive mindset all the way through. It's healthy. And the longer we continue that, I'm sure that will only rub off and end up feeding on into the season, which is exactly where we want to be. But in terms of the squad and how it's looking, I know he said to a couple of people at the game yesterday that spoke to him, and he did come out and say afterwards as well that he's looking for four more players. He said two strikers, another defender, and an advanced left-sided player.
Yeah, he said to my dad yesterday that two of them are pretty much in the bag, so they're nearly done.
Two strikers, a defender, and then a left-sided midfielder. Does that sound about right for you with what we need?
I don't think we need another defender.
I think we possibly need another left back, just in case Garms has any issues.
I suppose because he doesn't want to play Fuller that side, does he?
He said he don't want a right-sided player playing the left back. Yeah. Even though
I think Callum Riley will do a good job at left back again, though.
First
season, he was really good at left back.
Do you think this is the debate we were having yesterday about Barry Fuller, weren't we, at Faversham? Do you think Fuller's going to play a lot next year?
I think
it will end up being like last season, that it won't start the season. I think he'll go with Hodgson to start with, but the minute obviously form changes or an injury picks up, Fuller will get his chance, and like he did last season, he'll put in typical Barry Fuller performances to the point
I can see Barry Fuller becoming our player coach.
Can you?
Yeah.
As I said last week, he's like a fine wine, he just gets better with age.
He does. But
he continues playing, we're going to say this, we're going to have this debate.
Yeah, no. So I just, like you say, if Hodgson has a really good season, Fuller won't play.
Yeah, of course. But O'Neill didn't have a bad season last season, and he still somehow got his way into the team. I know he got his way into the team because
Lovell played square pegs and round holes. But saying that, he obviously played well in that position.
And was our best player throughout the season.
That ain't going to be an option this time, because Evans is just not going to do that.
No, he said he wants left-footed players on the left and right-footed players on the right. I do think, I'd assume the defender he's looking at will be a, because we've got five centre-backs, we've got two right-backs. I assume it will be a left-back, just in case.
Yeah, if it's not another left-winger.
I know, speaking to James Clear yesterday, he was saying that he knows someone who spoke to Garmstead not that long ago, and apparently he was like, talking to him about last season and stuff, and Garmstead genuinely came across that he was like quite disheartened, because everyone has this perception that he's always injured. Apparently he wasn't injured at all last season. Lovell just did not want to play him.
I'm not surprised.
Do we take that and run with the thought that maybe, I think Garms is over the worst of his injury problems, I think he is.
But in Lovell's defence, and yeah, that might shock you,
Jesus Christ, everyone.
In Lovell's defence.
The end is near.
How can you put Garmson in the team when Barry Fuller's playing so well?
No, there was that. There was that.
But if it's true that he wasn't injured, there's no need to say he is.
Was he saying that he was then?
I don't know. I don't think he ever got spoken about.
Yeah, I think he just...
He just sort of got forgot about.
But it was interesting that in the summer prior, he made him sign a two-year deal. He got him to sign a two-year deal. So he obviously wanted him.
Yeah. I think this is the biggest season in not just his Jules career, but his football career, Bradley Garmison.
Evans likes him.
Yeah, yeah, and that's clear to see, and it's clear to see why.
And what was great to see yesterday is that Evans pulled Garmison to one side, away from the group, and you could clearly see he was coaching him.
Yeah, yeah, half time, wasn't he?
And
I think he needs that.
He just needs a manager that's going to look after him and take care of him.
I think he's one of those players that he needs an arm around him.
Yeah,
I will still back my opinion about Garmison. If you can get him fit and firing, he's one of the best fullbacks in this division.
Yeah.
The Garmston that we saw on loan from West Brom was a unit. You could not stop him.
It is in him somewhere.
And if you can get that back, you're going to have one hell of a player on you. I would still personally play him as a left winger.
Would you?
Because defensively, I don't think he's quite there. He can beat a fullback for days.
I'd agree with that.
It's quite common for fullbacks now, though, isn't it? They're not particularly great defensively. I didn't think O'Neill was great.
I would push Garmston further up the field as our left-sided player and sign a new left-back.
Would you?
That's what I would do.
You wouldn't just put Ogilvie at left-back?
Definitely not.
Evans made it
perfect. I think I'd refund my season ticket if that happened.
But that's not happening.
Keep him at centre-half. He's fine there.
Yeah, he's touched on another...
He did get nailed, though, yesterday, Ogilvie.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, in the corner. Yeah, you got left a late one. Yeah, he has said another advanced left-sided player. Could be another loan. I can see that being a loan.
Not Matt Jarvis. Sad about that, aren't we, Josh?
Well, yeah. Let's talk about that rumour recently. Did you want that to happen?
Right.
It wasn't for me.
Right. When I first heard it, I'll be honest, yes.
Love how realism.
I really, really wanted it to happen. Because... Like with the Simon Royce thing, you hear the word Simon Royce, you go, fucking hell, it's Simon Royce. Like, the sentiment takes over your body and you don't think straight. I heard Matt Jarvis, I thought Matt Jarvis back to you, it's fucking fairy tale stuff. Like when Tim Cahill went back to Millwall, years past it, miles past it.
Yeah.
But somewhere, he is a good player. He turned up Walsall last season, destroyed us. So would it be a bad sign?
Don't think you played after that one.
No,
that's the only thing with him. That's the only
injury,
thing.
Injury, isn't it? And it's going back to...
It would go against our newfound philosophy.
I would have given him a deal on the basis that he took a cheap wages and he was happy to sit on a 1-year deal.
He obviously wants it to happen.
But I don't think Evans wants those sort of players.
No.
I think he wants those sort of players that fit 100%, knows he can count on them and knows he's going to push every single player all of the way. Would you have got a fully fit 110% Matt Jarvis for a full 46 games of the season? The answer is probably no.
I know for a fact anyway that Evans doesn't want him, so it's out of the question.
I know.
Yeah, he said
he spoke to Jack Payne as well.
He did say he spoke to Jack Payne. Yeah, because it said that he commented on the Jarvis thing saying it's not going to happen.
It is a shame,
cry in the little corner, I think.
It would have been brilliant, wouldn't it? To see him back, it would have been fantastic.
It's one of those. If we'd have signed him, if he there was talks going on and we could guarantee that Matt Jarvis would come in and play 30 plus games, then it's a no-brainer because of the ability he has. But the problem is, looking at his career over, it's not even been a year or two, is it? This has been
I don't think he's played 30 games since his Wolves days. Has he?
So you look at it and say, it's probably more likely than not that he'd have another Billy Bingham on your hands. Evans has made it perfectly clear that, so he keeps saying, you can't see it if you're listening, but in speech marks, same budget as last season, which needs to be stretched as far as possible. Evans doesn't see injury prone players as a part of that, and can't blame him for that thinking.
Listen, I don't blame him for not signing Matt Jarvis. I think
it's that one.
The inner child in me that grew up watching him with Matt Jarvis would cry of happiness if he came back.
I was
back.
All prepared to have my brand new Macron Gill shirt with Jarvis on the back. Thank you, Mr. Evans, for rubbing in that.
it would have been brilliant.
But no, it's sensible, and I get why. Yeah, and he's not ready. He's
whatever he does, I hope he does fucking brilliantly, because what a player he was.
See, on the topic of budgets, this is where I think I differ in opinion to some people.
Oh, here we go.
Because I've seen some people on social media, since these two signings last week, sort of criticise us for looking to the loan market so much.
Why?
But for me, I have no issue with it. And we were saying to James yesterday that, one, I don't think you can go wrong with a season-long loan. If you only sign a player for 3 months, it is a bit like, yeah, all right, they might build up form and then you lose them after 3 months. But if they're on the season long loan, they can come in pre-season, they can settle, they can build up momentum if they get in the team and ultimately contribute.
Yeah.
And also, when we are signing these loan players from Premier League Championship teams, we won't be paying their wages in full,
yeah,
which means that ultimately the budget can go further. So I think for a club like us to try and be successful, I think sensible loan signings are absolutely integral.
Not only that, look how good the loan market has been to us previously.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
It works at this level. I think it's smart. Definitely think it's smart. It's the thing to do for the League One clubs.
Yeah.
Because as you say, it doesn't cost as much.
A club like us can't go and sign 22, 23 full-time players that we own.
Yeah,
we need to utilise the loan market, and it just comes about utilising it in the right way. And perhaps there's been times in the last couple of years where we've not done so, where we've signed loan players or free agents that have come in and not contributed an awful lot or anything at all. Whereas with the three that we've brought in on loan so far, obviously Jones, Thomas and Jolie,
yeah,
you get the impression that they're all going to play plenty of games. And that's ultimately what you need from a loan player.
I'd rather bring in one Alfie Jones than three Jesse Starkeys.
Well, you know exactly. What I mean?
It's a no-brainer. It is a no-brainer. Simple as that.
Exactly. So, yeah, to finish off talking about the squad and stuff, James, I'll come to you first. With what we've got at the moment, how many names could you give me that you definitely think will be in that starting 11 at Doncaster?
Jack Bonham.
Jesus. What, naming them?
Yeah.
Bonham.
Yep.
Hodgson.
Do you think you could name the back five?
Yeah. Bonham, Hodgson, Amott, Ogilvy, Garmston.
Right.
Then I think it'll be a midfield three of O'Keefe, Cisse, and Willock. And then I think it'll be a front three of Thomas, new striker, and new left winger.
Do you reckon? Yeah, see, I think the back five, obviously the back four and Bonham, will be what starts. The rest of it, I think, is up for grabs. Because, yeah, obviously we've got Cisse, O'Keefe, Willock. But then we have, obviously, got DJ, we've got Burner, we've got Riley. And if they play well in pre-season, I think you're right. And I think we will play a 4-3-3. But like, there's going to be six centre midfielders, and only three faces are going to fit. And on their day, they're all capable of being in that team. So it's going to be really interesting. But, yeah, again, it's what we want. We want all six of them, yeah, bang at it, pushing each, yeah, other on to ultimately get the best out of each other.
I agree with James with the back five. And I think our midfield will be Stuart O'Keefe leading the team out. I'm not going to attempt to say his first name, but Cisse and Callum Riley.
You reckon?
I think so. I think he's going to force himself back in. Because I think he was part of the three that Evans didn't want.
Do you reckon?
But I think so. But I think he will force himself back in. He's a good player. He's a really good player.
Reason I haven't picked Riley, he's similar to the other two.
It's interesting you say that, Josh, about three didn't want. Did you notice the three names that were missing yesterday?
Parrott, Rees and
Stevenson.
I've got Stevenson was here, to be honest.
So that could possibly be
interesting, Stevenson, though, because he signed a new deal once Evans had arrived.
Didn't he sign it before Evans was announced, though?
Is that what it was?
Rees and Parrott, I think everyone hinted at
everyone
from the
knew.
Start.
Everyone
was
knew.
Probably. And someone will come from eventually.
I'm quite sad about Rees, but I trust everything Evans does. So.
Yeah, the other midfielders we've got at the moment.
He's gone.
He hasn't gone anywhere.
Not in the squad anyway.
Yeah, with the other
he's
midfielders.
A handy player,
with the other midfielders we've got.
I don't think we'll get anywhere near our squad.
Oh, no, James, I never said a starter.
You always
got to
be horrible,
ain't
you?
Player,
well,
yeah.
Poor guy. Scored
what?
Us a winning goal at,
yeah,
Burton. Let's slag him off.
What are you over exaggerating for?
I just don't think he's got any.
No,
ability.
That's
he's a handy
Evan,
player.
That's probably why he's
for
not. He's
player.
Not featuring the friendlies, and he obviously is one of the ones that Evans has said, "Look, I'm not going to be horrible. I'm not going to tell you to clear off, but you're not going to play. So
yeah.
Probably try and find another team." And I would assume Parrott's the same.
Yeah.
Isn't necessarily Parrott's ability, Maybe not, but I reckon that could be more to do with a fitness issue. Both in terms of...
I'm very lazy.
Him being injured a lot. And also, he doesn't look like a footballer to me that keeps himself in the best shape all the time.
Have you noticed as well on Twitter, Parra and Reese have been having one-to-one sessions with a coach?
Yeah, I've seen that.
So they're obviously two of the...
I think they'll both get a League Two move. And they'll do all right.
I'd like to think so, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if Parra went back to Wimbledon.
I said that.
Or to Stevenage.
He played there before as well, didn't he?
Yeah. And they both really liked him. Reece.
He had moments for us, Parrott. But
Scunthorpe away. Oh, but he was the best.
He was another one of these ones that you'd get a game out of him, and he was out. You didn't see him again for two or three weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Shame. It is a shame because he is a good player.
Technically, he's a very good footballer. Very good footballer.
Do you know what he's really good at? Drawing fouls. He's a clever midfielder. Yeah. He's just not got the fitness to do it.
No. But no, we'll finish off with just a little bit of a couple of little bits of news that just we can gloss over a little bit. Firstly, with the players that we have seen leave the football club, gradually they're finding new teams. Luke O'Neill signed for FC Wimbledon the other day. I don't know about you two.
Yeah.
A little bit surprised to see him turn up there. I just thought. Because we don't know if he was actually released or because it came out before the season finished that he wasn't playing at Blackpool, whether he decided before then, I'm not staying. In which case, if he wanted to leave, you'd have thought that's because he sees himself as playing somewhere a bit better than us.
Yeah.
And he was linked with Peterborough, wasn't he, for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So it just surprised me to see him sign for someone that just stayed up last season.
No, I'm exactly the same as you. And you know what? I was quite upset, to be fair.
You got it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and slag Luke O'Neill off and say that I didn't like him.
You didn't like him.
No, I'm not gonna sit here and say I hated him. He had a wand of a right foot from set pieces.
Yeah.
But I did think defensively he's not the best right back. I think defensively Barry Fuller's a better right back than him.
Of course. Defensively he's not all there. But offensively brilliant. And if you say the words Luke O'Neill to a dual sign, they're gonna remember the free kicks.
Yeah.
Simple as.
And he was very good at them.
Yeah.
I certainly can't take that away from him.
I'd have rather kept him than lost him.
I will reserve judgment on that till I've seen Hodgson play.
Oh yeah, exactly. Obviously, yeah. But had I been given a choice at the time,
I think he was asked to move on.
Do you reckon?
Yes.
I don't.
I think he was.
I know for a fact he wasn't.
I reckon he decided before the end of the season, I don't want to be here anymore. Maybe because he knew Evans was coming in.
Correct.
Yeah, it's up to him. I would say that he's ended up at a club that will probably finish below us next season. But that's up to him. He's made a decision that ultimately he feels is best for his career.
Good luck to him.
Yes, definitely.
Hope he does well, except the two fixtures against
us. The wait for Tom Eaves' next club still goes on.
I've heard an interesting rumour, but I'll have to tell you after. Because.
Well, we heard one yesterday, didn't
Hull.
We? Hull.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say anyway, so.
Which could see it. I could see it.
Grant McCann apparently really likes him, so.
Yeah, I could see it.
Moving back up north, isn't
he? I can't see many other championship clubs that he would go to now, especially as Millwall have signed Matt Smith.
Yeah,
they're going to go there. Forward, didn't they?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
I think it'd be a really good move for him.
But we heard just today that apparently Evans, he spoke to Evans, didn't he, a couple of days ago and told him about Hull and said that apparently if it don't come off, he's happy to come and look at enough for being on the table here again, so we'll see. But if Hull do
don't get me excited.
If Hull do genuinely want him, I'd have thought he'll sign for him because it's championship football, which is ultimately what he probably deserves a shot at after.
I know it's unlikely, but if Hull do not sign him and he re-signs with us, I'm putting serious money enough to go up. And I mean fucking serious money. A lot of money. That's 25 goals there already.
I thought you were going to say that's £25.
Yeah, that's what I was
about to say. 25 goals there if he re-signs already.
Do you think he would score more than he has done in the Steve Evans
team?
Yes. Do you reckon he would?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, obviously.
You can dream, Josh. You can dream.
I don't know. I won't be able to sleep all week now. Just dreaming. Oh, mate, imagine the announcement video. Oh, fantastic. Just him playing the harp. Oh, yes.
But yeah, another piece of news that...
oh, I want it to happen now.
Oh, I thought we should just do it anyway and let him go.
Yeah, another piece of news that I don't think I've ever seen before. Surprisingly, in my... Cool, how long have I been supporting Jules? I first went in 2003.
Josh is going to get a tattoo of Steve Evans' face on his arse cheek if we get promoted this season.
Whoa, I suppose I've heard of it. I'll do it, but yeah.
There you go. It's on the podcast.
Or I'll get his signature tattooed on me.
Get his signature.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 16 years I've been supporting Jules, I've never heard of us doing an open training session.
No.
Not the ground.
When we was talking about yesterday...
Under Alan, we did it at the training ground.
Well, yeah, but I think that was just general consensus that that was open all the time anyway.
Yeah, that was more
but
like, it's actually, welcome to come along.
It was, it's been publicly made an event, like you said, at the ground that people come on to. Again, another very clever piece of PR from Evans and the football club, especially doing it during the school summer holidays that I'm sure plenty of kids will want to get down there and...
Yeah.
And see, and it's something... I don't know about and you me. Two, but I'm surprised it's James, a big kid, wants to go down there.
Well, I'm off, mate. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm surprised we've never done it before.
Don't know why it's taking this long. I don't think a lot of League One teams do it, to be fair. But I'm glad we're doing it. And do you know what? Obviously, it's not just Steve Evans. Like, the CEO's obviously put in a lot of hard work. And do you know what? We feel like a football club. We actually feel like a football club now.
Right? Like James was saying to us yesterday, he just said everything about the club at the moment feels professional.
Literally.
And compared to what it has done.
And do you know how stupid this sounds? We've got a proper football kit. We have an actual manufactured football kit. Yeah. Not GFC Leisure.
Yeah.
A fucking proper football kit. We've got an open training session. We've made good signings. We've got a proper manager. We're an actual football club. Going places. Jesus Christ.
What did you think we'd never see the day?
Wake me up.
So last point I've got actually, the kits. Fans, obviously, they're only computer-generated images at the moment.
Yeah, until I see them in person.
But they look all right.
Over the moon, it's not those red shirts yesterday that we used.
You don't like them, do you?
I think they're retro. I like them. I like them.
I didn't mind. Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah, right.
The actual kit looks better.
Oh, that's the best kit.
Until you see it in person, but...
That's, the horse on the back makes it for me.
Yeah, we've said that.
But I'm convinced that was on one of the shirts before, and... It never come about. It never happened.
Let's be honest.
Well, I remember on the centenary kit, they had the coat of arms on the back, so it has been done before.
It might have been that.
And the deal for the two kits is really good.
Does that still apply as it's Macron?
I think it's 2 for £55.
Yeah, how do you know that, though? I haven't seen that being announced.
What, that deal? It was in the season ticket brochure.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
2 for £55. Yeah. That's really good. Really good.
Yeah.
For like two Macron, yeah.
Oh, I like the look of them. Like you say, it has absolutely no bearing on
football shirts
results
really,
on the football pitch, but football it's something
shirts,
fans look forward to seeing every summer, don't they?
But football shirts ultimately get judged on the season you have.
Yeah.
You look at a shirt and go, oh, that was a shit shirt, because you got relegated in it.
Yeah. The bright yellow with the blue panels down the side that we never won an away game in under Mark Simpson.
Oh, God. That away kit we had last season, not the black and white, that black and white was lovely. You know, the white and yellow one?
Yeah.
I've never seen anything so horrible in my life.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
A company that we never used.
Ticket Co. Yeah. Yeah, we're still waiting for those season tickets. We're not a proper football club, actually. We're still waiting for those.
We still have paper book season tickets.
Yeah.
Because a card doesn't exist at Gillingham Football Club.
Ignore everything I said.
I still don't understand why that's not been implemented. Just give people season cards.
I was saying to Dom yesterday,
like, I don't get why we can't have cards that. Our season ticket goes on, you scan it on, and then you can put stuff, you can put money on it to spend in a club shop. That then gets you points racked up to then get you more discount than you already get. Then you take it into the factory, and the more drinks you buy, the more discount you get.
And then we can have, like, betting stands in the rain and as well, put money on it for that.
I wouldn't watch the game. I'd just be down there asking for the in-plays.
I'll have a request a bet, please, mate.
And then every time you go on the, like, club class travel... The more points you rack up, in turn...
If you have two Peter Lloyd hot chocolates, you get £5.
No, but the more away games you go to, say you go to five away games, the sixth one you get free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I genuinely think as the years go on and the more Tom Lawrence is here, the more
if he doesn't fall out of Scaling.
The more we'll see things bleeding. Like
yeah,
that.
I'm sure he gradually will implement things, but he probably turned up and thought, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? Yeah. And it seems like another thing you listed a few things that have changed. The season ticket prices. The day he was appointed, he probably went, how much are you charging for your season tickets? £400. Right, Mr. Scaling, that's the most in League One. Why? When you've won 4 home games.
Yeah.
You can't justify it. Put him down. Yeah. And to be fair to Scally, he's clearly taking it on board.
Exactly, yeah.
He's obviously done a hell of a job convincing him. Like, fair play to Tom. And obviously fair play to Paul.
Scally had to, because he was losing fans.
Yeah. There was a serious danger of crowds being drastically lower next season. But I think the season ticket sales, if they're not already, I think they will be up.
Yeah.
And I think the average attendance will be higher next season. Yeah. In which case, you have to say, whether you like the bloke or not, you have to hold your hands up and say fair play from all corners, because
with wins comes fans, mate.
Well, exactly. And if we have a winning team, which again would come from Evans, that despite all the not necessarily nonsense talk, but all the criticism before it was announced, Scally stuck to his guns and gone, no, he's my man, he's the best I've seen out there, I'm going to appoint him. And so far, not everyone, but heads are being turned the right direction now.
There's a lot like us
that were with him from day one. There were some that hated the idea of the appointment, hated the appointment when it happened, still do hate it, and still will hate it to the day he leaves.
But those numbers are getting less and less.
There were also a lot that were well against it at first. I think your dad was against it at first, but now I think you've spoken to him a couple of times, seen the signings we've made, the professional outlook from the club.
Your dad was even talking to him yesterday.
And people are now looking at it going, do you know what? The feeling about the club, you can't put your finger on it, but it just feels different.
What did I say yesterday? This feeling, the last time I got this feeling, was under Martin Allen when we won the league. It feels exactly the same. Exactly the same.
I certainly didn't sit here last summer thinking we're a striker away from having a shot of the playoffs, that's for sure.
Yeah. And
I'll tell you what, last summer, I wasn't getting a new season ticket.
Yeah, you was close to not doing it.
My dad doesn't support Gills. So like, he's the biggest Gillingham sceptic and Paul Scally hater like in the world. Fair play, don't blame you. So like, when he keeps saying to me, I've seen Gills have signed so and so, and I'm sitting there and going, Dad, we're going up this season. Like, we are genuinely, we're going to piss this league.
Not going to lose a game.
And he was like, yeah, but you say it's every season. I was like, all right, I haven't said it about 3 seasons since Edinburgh was here. And now, apparently I say it every season. This season, I guarantee you, we will be in the top 6.
The bookies are obviously getting scared because we were second favourite to go down 2 weeks
ago.
We're now like middle of the road. So yeah. They're clearly looking at what we're doing and thinking, no, these ain't going down, that's for sure. Yeah. So yeah, people are noticing. I've seen fans from other teams as well looking at our signings saying, Gillingham are making decent signings. Yeah. I've seen some Portsmouth fans think that we're going to be better than them this season.
Yeah. I don't think they'll be very good this season.
Which is bold. It is good that there is a genuine sense of positivity around the football club as the season's building up. And I think part of that as well is the PR and the media work going on. Obviously, Henry and Phil. Obviously, the thing is for their jobs is that they can only put out what they're given and what they're allowed to do. But they're also in a situation at the moment where we've got a manager in Steve Evans that is clearly happy, like Martin Allen was, to every other day put a video out updating fans and what's going on, because I felt like under the last couple of managers we was all kept in the dark over stuff far too often. Whereas now Evans is coming out going, this is happening, we're going away next week, I want 4 more players, I'll even tell you what positions there are, we know what's happening, we know what to expect, when to expect it. We can't complain.
I've got one complaint. It's nothing to do with the football club, it's more the fans. Stop fucking tweeting the club every day off them signings. It does my fucking nut in, mate. Honestly, stop doing it.
They don't.
When there's a signing to announce, they will fucking announce it. They're not going to look at your tweet and go, oh, we best sign someone. We best sign someone now because... Because John 15 from Gillingham wants us to sign someone. We best fucking sign someone. It's not how it works, mate.
Tell you what, Joe from Canterbury Streets told us to get on the phone. Steve, you better make a signing or he's going to come around and slash his eyes.
No, that, I must admit, that is a pet hate.
It is annoying.
I hate it
as well.
I hate it.
It's annoying. If it annoys us, I can only imagine how it feels.
I'm surprised
Henry and Phil.
Phil, the football club, has not tweeted back going, will you fuck off?
They probably just mute the people, to be honest. Yeah. Well, that's what I'd do. I'd just mute them.
If I run it, I'd have a lot of people muted.
Pretend that it didn't happen.
But no, that's all from us this week.
Another positive one.
I think they're all going to be positive until we lose 4-0 at Doncaster on the first day of the season, mate.
I'm not.
Are you doing that bet again? A goal to be in every Jules game?
No. 0-0 again? No.
I don't think it's going to be any... I'm not saying it. Many 0-0s.
You can't.
You watch the first five now. 0-0.
Yeah, if we don't sign a striker. Like James said to us yesterday, didn't he, James? Clearly went, unless we sign a striker, he's a bit worried that there will be games that we dominate and create chances, and just don't put them away.
Yeah.
And that's where we're still waiting. And we were saying yesterday that it's Steve Evans. There is a marquee signing to come, surely.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
But if we don't sign a striker, do you know what I'd do if we're in that situation? We create loads of chances of competition.
Stick you up front, mate.
No, put Max Aymer up front.
That boy can finish.
That boy can finish for a centre half.
But no, he does. Well, he clearly wants to address the issue. As he said, he wants two forwards. So it's not like we're sitting here going, we're short on forwards, and he's not suggesting he wants any. He wants two strikers.
But like any other transfer window, I'd be worried. I'm not. I'd be sitting thinking about going, we need to sign someone, like, realistically, very, very soon.
If the season started tomorrow, we wouldn't be in a disastrous situation with the squad we've got. Not like some teams that are probably only got 15, 16
eight players, or eight players,
if you're bottom.
That's one thing we've done really well this season. We've got our business done quite early.
Because it takes the pressure off towards the back end, when you can just add a couple that you need.
And usually, we're the complete opposite.
Instead of leaving it till the middle of July, going, oh my God, we need eight signings. First eight names we see that are available, we'll offer you a contract. Which we may have been guilty
because
of in the past.
Usually, all the good players are taken by then, and we've got to take an injury-plagued 29-year-old midfielder that's been playing in League 2 for five seasons. Yeah. Which is what has happened, realistically, hasn't it? Until now.
Yeah, it's good.
Fantastic.
It's good. So now we'll leave it there for today. I'm sure there'll be more news over the next week, 10 days or so, that we'll have a lot more to talk about in a week and a half time. But until then, thanks for listening, and up the Jules.
Up the Jules.